Papua New Guinea's Prime Minister Peter O'Neill has announced his intention to resign. Several members of Mr. O'Neill's government defected to the opposition, bringing about the plan to step down in favour of elder statesman Sir Julius Chan. This, of course, has sent the PNG parliament into political turmoil. The current situation in PNG has an impact not only on that country and its people, but also on Australia as well, being the largest recipient of Australian aid. Sonia Lal has this report.
Back in June 2018, Papua New Guinea's opposition National Alliance Party leader, Patrick Pruaj, called for Prime Minister Peter O'Neill to resign.
Opposition views this as a no confidence in the leadership in Southern Highlands Province, and opposition is now calling on the Prime Minister to resign.
On Sunday, it appeared that Pruaj got his wish.
The leadership of our government will be now handed over to Sir Julius Chan, who is a veteran leader and one of our founding fathers of our great nation. We know that there are many like-minded leaders who are now camping in various camps, who are wanting to provide a change in the country. We are giving them this opportunity.
Well, not quite. Dr. Grant Walton, Fellow for the Development Policy Centre for the Crawford School at the Australian National University, explains that there is much more than initially meets the eye.
Well, he hasn't actually stood down. So this is the interesting thing that's unfolding at the moment. So Peter O'Neill has announced his intention to resign, but he has not yet done that officially by going to the Governor-General. Now, in the meantime, over the last day or so, he's actually gone to the Supreme Court, which is the highest court in Papua New Guinea, and called for a ruling on the vote of no confidence motion. So what's happening at the moment is that there is quite a large opposition party now. There's been quite a number of defections from Peter O'Neill's coalition government, and they're all holed up in a hotel in Port Moresby. They've locked the doors and they're making sure that nobody escapes so that they retain this coalition. And what they're hoping to do is to go forward with a vote of no confidence in the Prime Minister and oust him. So that announcement that he made was actually technically not a resignation, although it's been reported as such.
This is not the first time that Peter O'Neill and Papua New Guinea have experienced political unrest. In 2011, O'Neill faced challenges to his legitimacy to rule, but was able to overcome them. Dr. Walton notes even though there are similarities, O'Neill is facing a very different battle now.
What difference now compared with the events in 2011? We're seeing a somewhat similar pattern that there is a Prime Minister that's being ousted. But at this stage, it looks like we're not getting the same sort of dynamic that was happening in 2011, where you had factions of the army and the police align with different prime ministers. That crisis in 2011 was resolved peacefully, but it did call into question the legality of, you know, Peter O'Neill taking over from then Prime Minister Sir Michael Somare. This time we're actually getting an opposition which has been strengthened over the last year or so after the 2017 election, and they actually have got the numbers to be able to oust Peter O'Neill through this vote of no confidence process.
And do you think this is some kind of political ploy on behalf of Peter O'Neill?
Look, it's looking like this is certainly a political ploy. He's gone to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has deferred a ruling on his questions around the vote of no confidence process until Friday. So we're not going to know what the outcome of that will be. So he's at least bought himself some time, and I think that what he'll be looking to do is to woo some of the members of the now opposition party over into his side.
And what's the sentiment amongst the people of Papua New Guinea? How have they been reacting to what's going on?
Look, there's a real frustration in PNG about the inability of the political class to translate the country's natural resources into services and resources for the people.
There is uncertainty over the impact the political turmoil could have on Australia's relationship with Papua New Guinea, particularly in regards to the offshore processing deal. However, Dr. Walton relays that even if there were a change of government, the deal would most likely remain unaffected, but that has not given way to other difficulties Australia could face.
The difficulty about this for Australia is that this comes right at the moment when Australia is taking Papua New Guinea and the Pacific more seriously through its Pacific Step Up. And this, of course, is in response to China being more active in the region. And I would hope that any new government would be on board with that kind of infrastructure, those kind of proposed infrastructure projects. But yes, we'll just have to wait and see.
What happens next?
We're going to see who gets to sit on PNG's Iron Throne. And this is really important stuff because PNG is a very poor country and it's going to need some good government to be able to implement some of the proposed projects in the future to kind of turn that around.
Dr. Greg Walton, Fellow for the Development Policy Centre for the Crawford School at the Australian National University, ending that report by Sonia Lal.